play a game when I was a kid. When I lived in Kansas, they never played it when I moved to the South. But in Kansas, we played the game, you know, in school, hey, you play musical chairs and stuff. The teacher would get bored and want a grade test or something, so he let the kids play a game. And we played one called Fruit Basket Upset. Anybody played Fruit Basket Upset? It's like musical chairs. What happens is somebody will get to the front. Everybody has named a different fruit in the class, fruit or a vegetable. And so somebody will get up, they'll be like they're it. And they'll stand up in front of the class and say, peach, grape. And the peach and the grape, whoever they were, had to exchange seats. And the person that was it up front had to try to get one of the seats. And the person left out had to be it and go up front. But if you ever hollered Fruit Basket Upset, it meant everybody had to change seats. And it was total chaos. And of course, the girls would get up there and say, plum and apricot. And you'd be kind of nice, jump. Every guy, every kid, every boy. Fruit Basket Upset! Because they love the chaos. Amen. And I believe that's what's coming on the church in these end times. It's about to be an upsetting of everything we thought was, you know, holding us stable and in position. You better know how to hear the voice of God. Amen? Now are you ready for the Word? You thought that was part of my message, didn't you? I'm still just transitioning. Thank you, Jesus. Psalm 105. Psalm 105, let's go to verse 36. It says, He, God, smote also all the firstborn in their land, the chief of all their strength. Now, this is talking about the 10 plagues in Egypt. Are you following me? Here he's talking about the first Passover, the death of the firstborn. And he says, He brought them forth, talking about Israel coming out of Egypt. Remember where they were released by Pharaoh to go to the promised land? It says, He brought them forth also with silver and gold. Now, we're teaching on God's desire for you to be wealthy on Sunday nights. Praise God for silver and gold. I mean, praise God for the ability to financially produce shifts and who's in control in these end times. Right? But he says, And there was not one feeble person among their tribes. I have just had it in my heart here of late, to minister the key components of 3 John 2 in this church. Beloved, I would above all things that you prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. God wants you prosperous and He wants you healthy. But He says, as your soul prospers. In other words, your soul, your mind, will, and emotions have to be transformed by the Word of God to be able to access by faith what God says rightfully belongs to you in your inheritance. So Sunday night, we're focusing on God prospering you. And tonight, we're starting a series on God wanting you healed. God's charged me that nobody in this church will be in pain. Nobody will carry sickness or disease. Nobody's going to die. Are you following me? We're going to be a totally covered, healed group of revivalists. But I can't produce covering to a full level unless you have some understanding of how to stand yourself against certain attacks of the enemy. Amen? And so I want to focus for some time on Thursday nights on the healing power of God. Now, when I said God's charged me a couple months ago with there being no sick people in here, here we see when Israel came out of Egypt, 2 million people in that church body. It's believed about 2 million people came out of Egypt at the time of the Passover, right? Of the Exodus. And God did a supernatural miracle in that nation at that release that there was not a feeble, meaning weak, or sick person among them. That's a major healing move of God. And if God in the old covenant can produce a healing move where there's nobody sick in Israel coming out of captivity, out of probably not eating, right, how healthy do you think you would be on onions and leeks and garlics? Or Snicker bars and McDonald's? I'll still take the Snicker bars and McDonald's. And yet God heals every single one of them on their way to the promise. Well, I'm telling you what, we're on our way to the promise. And God wants us going healed. He wants you going without any pain in your body, without any disability. And we're going to learn how in this, how to use our faith to believe God's promise of healing and have it applied in our lives. Is that okay with you? I hate the devil, and the devil hates me. But I got a covenant, and he doesn't. Amen. We win. And so turn over to Exodus chapter 15. Turn back to Exodus chapter 15. Now in Exodus chapter 12, we have the Passover. At least Israel coming out of Egypt. And God starts to deal with Israel on the covenant that they're making with him. And in verse 26, and God said, if thou wilt diligently. Now what does diligence mean? It means you apply yourself to it and you keep doing the same thing. In other words, you're not up and down and up and down, in and out, you know, and whatever you feel like doing. You stay operating in the same fashion. If you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes. Now here he's talking about following the law. Now are we required to follow the law? No, we're not into legalism. But there are statutes we are to follow. How many of thou shalt not kill is still a statute, right? You shall not hate. You shall not lust in a woman in your heart, right? Jesus quoted some of these. But they're not legalistic laws we follow. We're required now to follow the voice of the Holy Spirit and walk in the love of God. Right. If you will follow a walk of walking in the love of God, you will automatically follow the intentions of the Old Testament law. So God says, if you will follow my voice, in other words, if you will walk in love, referring to New Testament Christians now, he says, I will put none of these diseases, look at that, I will put zero, nil, nada, none of these diseases upon thee, which I brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Now see, this message really had to hold some power with Israel. Because this is only a few days after they received this word. This is only a few days after, short period anyway, after, that they just had everybody in their congregation automatically healed. Now, we have in Lexington a population of what, about 300,000? 300,000 to 400,000, depending how far out you go. And we have, I don't know how many hospitals there. How many people in your hospital, BJ? How many? 50? 50 people in her VA hospital. We've got hospitals in Lexington with hundreds, if not thousands, of people in them. In a city of, let's call it 400,000. We just had 2 million people, which is five times the size of Lexington at least, with nobody in a hospital. Nobody in a doctor's waiting room. Nobody on medication. Nobody walking around with pain in their body. We have a move of God that absolutely heals everybody there. And then God tells Moses, if you'll continue to follow me, I'm the God that healeth thee. God is a God of healing. He's a God that hates pain in your body. I was reading today in Matthew, and I came to a section of Matthew chapter 8 where Jesus was just healing one person after another. In fact, we may get to that tonight. And I read one commentary on it, and they said Jesus couldn't help himself. In fact, I was reading Kenyon's book on the two kinds of love. He said that wherever Jesus went, he couldn't help himself but heal, because it's the heart of the Father for everybody to be pain-free. God wants you pain-free. He wants you healed. And he said, if you'll follow me in this, if you'll learn to apply yourself to my principles, you don't have to worry about any disease on the planet coming upon you. Praise God for the covering. Amen? So here we see in this covenant that God's making with Israel, he's saying, I'm declaring you healed. I've given you a right, a supernatural provision to walk in divine health. Amen. He says, I won't even let the diseases come upon you. Is really what he's saying. It's a permissive instead of, where it's saying God's going to do it. He's saying, I'm not going to let these diseases come upon you. Thank you, Jesus. I don't like pain. Amen. We were working Tuesday, Robert, I, and Jake Abbott. And I had a broken window, cracked window at our other church building. And I'd picked up a piece of Lexan and we're going to replace this window. And my biggest concern is nobody have a piece of plate glass fall on them. I mean, that was a big concern. And so we were using every form of safety we knew. I'd have everybody stand way back. I'd score it, trying to crack it in the right place. And I'd step back with my hammer and tap it like this. If a piece fell out, I'm jumping. Jake says, here, come, let me help you. I says, no, I don't want anybody in my way when I got to jump. And so we got this huge window out. It was so neat. I'd had Robert put this card. I brought all these big pieces of cardboard where I'd brought from home. And I laid them out on the sidewalk, about two layers thick, heavy-duty cardboard. And we had a couple big chunks of the window out. It's a 6.5 foot by 6.5 foot plate glass window. And so it's not something you're just taking some little thing out. You got to take it out in pieces. And it's got to be a right pattern to be able to get the piece out. And it was a chore. And finally came to a place that I didn't know a safe way to get it out. I wasn't going to stand there and pull out one piece with another piece that could, fall into me. And so I said, get back. Now it had this window tinting, plastic window tinting I'd put on it. And I'd tapped it and it cracked in different places. I said, get back. So they're all standing back and I reach around, I hit that thing. And the whole thing just falls right out and folds in half like this and falls out on the cardboard. Not a piece of it splattering anywhere hardly. I mean, a few little pieces. And they just picked up the cardboard, sat on my trailer, had the whole window. I'm going, thank you, Jesus. But then we had to put the other Lexan back, and I'm just thanking God nobody was hurt, nobody was cut, anything like that. And so we have one piece of window trim that's a little bit too long. So I've got my hacksaw, and I'm cutting this trim off. And I'm on the last cut, and when I cut, it goes through, and I hit my finger on the edge of the metal. And I knew it wasn't good. And they said, are you okay? And I said, no. And I realized what I said. I said, I'm healed. Take back those words. I'm healed. My first thought was that wasn't good. And it sliced a nice little V in my finger. And this morning it's almost totally gone. Totally healed up now in one day. And so the point is I had to catch my word where I said no and realize I'm healed. Doesn't matter what it looks like. And God's going to teach us to diligently stand on the word of God to see the results of the word take place. We see here God's telling Moses in this covenant, we call it the Old Testament, right? In this old covenant, that God's going to heal everybody in the body, in the nation of Israel. Thank you, Jesus. If they'll obey Him, if they'll follow Him. That being said, go to Hebrews chapter 8. And let's go to verse number 6. But now hath He, talking about Jesus, obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also He is the mediator of a better covenant, established upon better promises. Now, if I get Patty a package of peanuts, she likes peanuts. And she's going to say, thank you for the peanuts. I'm very grateful for the peanuts. I like peanuts. But if I take those same peanuts and I double dip them in good chocolate, Amen. She's now got a better peanut that's more likely to be applied. The peanut may sit in a can for months, but the chocolate-covered peanuts will gather more attention. Amen. And if I put a candy shell around it, put M&M on it, it's open to everybody to attack. God said, I've given you a better covenant with better promises. The better covenant means it has everything the old one had, plus. Everything that was in the old one belongs to us. Every promise that was in the old covenant is ours. Are you following me? Plus. We have a covenant that includes the healing power of God. If God promised healing in the old covenant, I guarantee you He's got healing available in the new covenant. Oh, thank you, Jesus. It is our guaranteed right in writing. Our guaranteed R-I-G-H-T in W-R-I-T-I-N-G. Right in writing to the healing power of God. If I came to you and I said, look, I've got this big screen TV I want to get rid of, and if you'll come and pick it up, I'll give you the big screen TV. But you got to travel, say, all the way from Georgetown to Frankfurt. And I'll say, I don't want you to waste a trip. I'll be here at such and such time. And so I put what time down on a sheet of paper. You get the TV, I sign it. You know if you come at that time, you're going to get a television. Right? And Jesus gave us a better covenant in writing. When the Word says you are healed, that He made provision for you to be healed, you can know God guarantees it. See, the number one attack the enemy brings against you regarding healing is he says it won't work for you. Or he says, you know, it's not really a guaranteed promise and, you know, you have to live such a perfect life. And that's not the truth. You just have to know how to receive it. You just got to stand on the Word and say, no devil's taking it from me, and I receive of that healing promise. All the promises of God are in Him, yes. And we find it, we add the amen. Right? Amen means so be it. So when God makes a promise to you, you just say amen to it, so be it in my life. And that's how easy healing is meant to come to you. It's meant to flow into your life as easy as being able to pray in the Spirit. You know, it used to be when people would get filled with the Spirit, they thought they had to get into some really exciting church service to pray in the Holy Ghost. You know, the Spirit of God had to fall, and then if the Spirit of God fell just strong enough, you go, oh, bah, bah, dah, dah, bah, dah, dah, but you know, you pray in tongues. But we found out that we can pray in tongues at will. In any situation. Amen. We were putting that window in yesterday. I prayed in tongues the entire time. We have a lady that goes to the church in Madison. And she was coming to the Word Rally last week. And her car broke down on the interstate at Frankfurt. And overheated. And so she called I think she had roadside assistant because I saw the sticker in her back thing. So she calls that. And a mechanic shop there nearby came and picked up her car and took it to their shop. Well, she called right onto the Word Rally. Well, she called me or Facebooked me yesterday and says, my car's at this shop. Can you go look at it? Well, I think it was more worded. Do you know anybody could look at it? But I knew I was the one that could look at it. So I went yesterday and I went to pick up her car and I get it started. And so my thought is, I'm going to drive it home so it's not sitting in the mechanic's lot where they're going to start asking her, because she lives in Madison, Indiana. They're not going to start asking her for money, what are you going to do with it? I'll drive it home. Well, it's running, but it's running really bad. In fact, they told her the engine was blown. They had done compression tests, so the engine shot. And I started, and I'm thinking, sure enough, this engine shot. And it's boop, 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 boop. So I said, I'm getting home with it. And I think it was about, I think it's about probably 4 miles to the house. But it was in rush hour traffic. And I'm driving the car. As long as I give it gas, it would go. But as soon as I left the gas, it's a bloop, 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 and it start to die. I prayed in tongues vigorously for that 15 minutes to get me home. Because what happened is, it turns out the water pump wasn't working, and the temperature gauge started doing this and then spiking. Now, I got to get this thing home before it's on the side of the road. Now, I got to have it towed. And I prayed in tongues. It gets all the way home, into the driveway. Poof! Thank you, Jesus. But tongues got me home. Are you following me? Now we're figuring out what to do with the car now. She's believing for a miracle happen to the car that take place. It'll be healed, so praise God. The point being is, that was out of praying in tongues intentionally. Are you following me? And so we have found out that we can apply ourselves to the things of the kingdom with intention. And so many people in the church used to think that God healed who He wanted to, healed when He felt like doing it. But we found out we can do things in the Spirit, we can do things in the kingdom with intention. Now with us, it's easy for us just to decide to pray in tongues. In fact, try it right now. Dobra sanda bakarabasi. Stop. Wasn't it easy? God wants receiving healing to be that easy. That we made such a faith connection to the healing power of God. It's so real to us because we meditated the promise. We've heard the messages. We've heard Pastor Jack talk about healing power of God. That we just go, I receive it right now. Pain you go. Sickness you go. Disease you go. In fact, you can't even come near my dwelling place in Jesus' name. We create such a covering over our lives. God wants us to be in a free flow of the healing power of God. See, when we preach on prosperity, we preach on God wanting you wealthy. How many know God wants you rich? That's abominable heresy. It's Scripture. 3 John 2, I want you to be in wealth, right? And we understand a wealthy person has in their life a free flow of finances. A wealthy person is not living paycheck to paycheck. A wealthy person not having to pray in and believe in every light bill to be paid. Oh, we're going to get the rent paid this month. They have a flow of finances coming into their life, and even an abundance built up that whatever bill comes in, it's already paid for when it comes. See, I don't like having to wait till due dates to pay bills. I want to pay them when they come in the house. I don't want that thing even sitting there talking to me, acting like it has any control in my life or any say over my finances. I want to pay it when it comes in, get it out the door, and say, thank you, Lord, that bill can't speak to me anymore. And a wealthy person has that power. Those that are going from faith to faith in that area are moving that direction. Well, see, a person that's got a hold of divine healing should have the same type of overflow in their life regarding healing power. It shouldn't be that sickness is hitting you all the time. Well, I pray this one off. I believe this one off. I stand against this sickness. It should be they got so a hold of the healing power of God, sickness can't even come in their house. As soon as it tries to ring the doorbell, you say, wrong address, sickness. You don't belong here. And you kick it out. That it can't even touch your life. We have a better covenant with better promises. Healing was in the old covenant. It's in the new covenant. And it's easier to manifest. They had to follow the whole law to be qualified in the Old Testament and didn't have the nature to do it. Now you have the right nature and all you got to do is follow the law of love and build your faith for what God said is yours. Amen. Find out what's in God's last will and testament for the church. Now, I tell you what, turn to Matthew. I forgot to write this verse down, but let me see if I can find it real quick. And I think it's going to be in Matthew chapter 8 where I was reading earlier. Yes, Matthew chapter 8, verse 14. Are you there? And when Jesus was coming to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she arose and ministered unto them. Now, I'm telling you, with this love right there, that Peter would let Jesus heal his mother-in-law. Moving on. Moving right along. He touched her hand, and the fever left her. It just left. And she arose and ministered unto them. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed a few that were sick. Healed some that were sick. Healed all that were sick. You want to know again why Jesus healed them all? Because God's heart is for us to be sickness free. He hated pain on people. Now notice here though, he only healed the ones that came to him. God's plan has always been to move through the people that come to him. And Jesus went about giving people a taste of the kingdom. Jesus never came to heal everybody. He came to give people a taste of the kingdom, then tell them how they could do it themselves. The kingdom of God is as if a man should sow seed into the ground. The kingdom of God is as if where you have authority to command the mountain to be thrown in the sea, and if you doubt not, it must obey you. He's teaching them how to do it themselves. He left the church behind to further those instructions. So it says, he healed all that were sick. You can know it's God's will to heal you of everything and heal everybody of whatever. We have a saying that should be down inside of you by now, if not get it down inside of you. It is always God's will to heal of everything, every time, all the time. God wants to heal of everything, everyone, every time, all the time. God has never been the God of wanting sickness on anybody. Let me cut to the chase, because you'd say, well, I believe God put sickness on people. No, the curse puts sickness on people. God told Adam, he says, if you sin, the curse is going to come on the earth. And if you'll operate against the laws of God, if you'll operate contrary to the covenants of God, then you position yourself for the curse to manifest in your life. And you can't say God did it to me. You did it to yourself. You got out of bounds regarding God's ability to protect you, and curse happens. The world says something else happens, but it really means the curse happens. And it only happens to those that position themselves to live under it. There's a covering available for you to expect good things always to take place in your life. Again, Psalm 1, right? If you meditate the word day and night, you'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth your fruit in your season. Your leaf shall not wither, and whatever you do with shall prosper. You have a right to believe you're now a winner. A head and not the tail, above only and not beneath, and you're free from the curse. Again, I've quoted this many times. I heard Norval Hayes say this years ago, and I've tried to adapt it into my life. I believe I'm so blessed of God that if I was to buy a sick rooster, it'd get healed and I'd make money on it. Because the Word says, everything I do shall prosper. Amen. Now let's look at the next verse. He's healed all, right? What did he do? He just healed all. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. He took our infirmities. Now, what are the infirmities? Your weaknesses, your inabilities, and healed us of all sickness. Now, that's a quote out of Isaiah chapter 53. In fact, you might hold this spot and turn there. Here it says in Matthew, New Testament. At least New Testament operation. And here Jesus heals everybody. And the Spirit of God, when inspiring this word, makes it clear that Jesus was manifesting Isaiah chapter 53. Himself took our infirmities and our sicknesses. Do you see that? Well, I think we ought to go to Isaiah 53 here and take a look at this in context and just see what was taking place. Amen? So have you got Isaiah 53? Let's go to verse number 1. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Oh, that'd make a good message right there. Does anybody believe the report of God? Have you run into troubles telling people about your church and you tell them about the miracles that take place and you say, my pastor raised a guy from the dead? And they go like, right, right. And they've given you every excuse how he's probably just kind of passed out and, you know, I'm sure you've heard those, right? He was dead. And we talk about cancers disappearing and, you know, metal disappearing out of people's bodies and, you know, whatever, blind eyes open. And they're going like, I don't know if I believe all that. Well, God's saying, who's believed our report? I believe in the miracle power of God. We expect miracles in here, right? The one that believes it will see it. And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Now, the arm of the Lord represents the power of God. Right? Arms, like these guns, represent power. So the arm of the Lord represents the power of God. He says, to whom is the power of God revealed? It's to the one that believes the report. It's the one that believes the word. It's the one that determines that they're going to believe in the supernatural manifestation of the things of God. And God says, that's the one I'm going to reveal myself to. Who did Jesus demonstrate healing to? The ones that came. You know, there's a whole lot of people in the cities that didn't get healed because they didn't believe it enough to go try to find out. And who was it got healed? How about blind Bartimaeus? Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me, kept crying out. And it says, and Jesus stopped and turned. Why? Somebody that believed enough to make a demand on the one carrying that power. How about the ones that lowered the man through the roof that had the palsy? And he comes off the bed. He healed the ones that believed that the arm of the Lord was not shortened. Right? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, for when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. In other words, it's saying Jesus really wasn't that good looking of a guy. Amen. He wasn't that supernaturally looking. We see the picture of Jesus and he's always got this aura and, you know, this perfect chiseled body and, you know, his hair is perfect and, you know, everything's, your teeth are shining. He could have been Snaggletooth. We don't know. Probably not. He'd have spoke to the teeth and they'd straighten up anyway, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he could look like Steve Buscemi. We don't know what he looked like. Pee Wee Herman. Jim Varney, who was from Lexington, right? Patty's brother went to school with him. It says he wasn't anything to look at. Then he goes on and it says, verse 3, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. That's talking about Jesus at the cross in particular. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. Verse 5, but he was wounded. See the word wounded? Really in the Hebrew is the word defiled. He was defiled for our transgressions. In other words, he took sin upon him for our sin. He was defiled for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, We are healed. Now, we've mentioned this before, but if you study out redemption in the Old Testament, that He has taken our iniquities, right? You will find out in many, if not most cases, it combines with it healing. That in the same time Jesus took our sin, He provided for us divine health. And we have no problem teaching the most Christians that God wants you saved. Oh yes, it's God's will that none perish, that all come to, you know, eternal life. And in the same sentence they'll say, but we believe God put sickness on you to teach you a lesson. When if you look in the Old Testament and look at what God said, He said when you're redeemed, you also have rights to be healed.
Right.
So here it says, He paid the price for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. We now have peace with God because He was separated from God. And with His stripes, we are healed. Do you see that? Now, I want you to follow me for a second. Because this really was illuminated to me today as I was studying it. In Matthew, where we read about He healed them all, it says, so that it was fulfilled, that, in fact, let's go read it so I get the wording right. Go back to Matthew chapter 8, verse 17, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. There it is again, taking infirmities and delivering us from sickness. It says here, Jesus fulfilled Isaiah 53 through healing people. Here's the interesting part. When did He take the stripes? At the cross. He was operating in the manifestation of Isaiah 53 before He ever paid the price to fulfill Isaiah 53. He already knew who He was. He knew what He was going to pay for. And He was accessing new covenant promise before He'd even paid the price. If God was healing everybody through the ministry of Jesus before the price had even been paid, what do you think He wants to do in the end time church after the price has been paid in full? God wants you healed. Jesus did it by faith in what He was going to pay. In other words, He was going like, I'm declaring you healed by credit in what I'm going to pay later. He was doing it by credit. He was doing it all on account of what He was going to pay later. But we are able to look back to the cross, back to the whipping post, and say, it's already been paid. Now, this is just my opinion. But I'm of the opinion, if you go to some store, and you say, or you know, let's say you go to the car lot, and you say, I'd like that Cadillac, or I'd like that BMW, or I'd like that Mercedes, right? And you go, and if you give it to me now, I'll pay you for it in 3 years. They're going to be wanting to see your credit limit. They want to know your mother's maiden name and her mother's maiden name and middle names for your family from 10 generations back. They want to have you sign everything, you know, stacks of paper. In fact, they're probably just going to run you off. Verse, you go in there and say, I've got this much on account at the bank, and I've already got unlimited funds available right now, and I want to buy that car today, and you say, I can write you a check for it right now, paid in full. They're going to march you to every car they got in the lot, see which one you want. And try to give you the one with the most options they can shove upon you. And Jesus was doing healing of the multitudes where everybody was healed of everything all the time, every time, on credit. And we have a right to receive it paid in full. My goodness, There shouldn't be any sickness, pain, or disease be able to come on our bodies if we'll get a hold of this. Now we understand that at the whipping post on the way to the cross, they scourged Jesus. Now, the scourging, if you've seen the Passion, you've seen the scourging, is where they would take a whip, many times the cat of nine tails or whatever, where they would embed glass or metal in the leather strips. And when they whip a person, it virtually tears shreds of flesh off of them. And of course, if you saw the Passion, it wasn't limited to his back. His legs, his arms, every part of him was lashed. And the Jews, in their law, they had put forth that no man, well, in fact, God put it in the law, that nobody could be beaten more than 40 stripes. So they would actually beat people 39 in case they miscounted. They want to go over the 40. But the Romans had no such restrictions. It said that Jesus, when he was beaten beyond recognition. That his back was virtually missing. And we understand that he took that beating for us to be healed. Go over to 1 Peter. Do you ever have it where you go someplace and you go to buy some groceries or get some gas or, you know, you're getting something simple and it rejects your card? And you go, I just made a deposit. There's lots of money in the account. Why is it rejecting my card? And you about get angry. You never would get angry, but I'm just about to. I know there's money and there's a line backing up. Try this card, you know, and you. Because you are trying to access something that you know has already got, there's money in the account to cover, and you get angry when, well, we almost get angry, when it rejects our card. And we need to be that way with sickness. It's paid for. Pain, how dare you come onto my body? Sickness, how dare you try to visit me? It's been paid for by the stripes of Jesus. I'm not waiting for this to manifest. I'm healed right now. And be much more upset than when the station doesn't accept your card. Because when sickness comes on you, it's like the devil saying, I don't recognize that being paid. Your card's no good here. You got to say, no, it's on account through the stripes of Jesus, right? 1 Peter chapter 2, have you got it? Verse 23, who when he was reviled not again. That's Jesus, right? When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. There's redemption. He bare our sins, right? That we being dead to sins should live under righteousness. Now I want to put in here a little statement right now. The video we watched earlier by Pastor Pat talked about the remnant church as a church that guards righteous living. Not legalistic living, but righteous living. You guard what comes before your eyes. You guard what you allow yourself to be tempted with. You're not bringing the world before your eyes all the time, and you're not playing with the things of the world. You are going after God. We have a responsibility, if we're going to manifest the things of the covenant, to try to separate from living like the world lives. Amen. To live above. And here it says we're to live righteously. By whose stripes ye were healed. Now we read Isaiah 53 a while ago. It was worded differently. Isaiah 53 was a prophecy of a day to come, talking about the cross, right? Talking about salvation, talking about, you know, him taking our weaknesses and our our pain and everything. And it says, by whose stripes, in Isaiah 53, it says, by whose stripes, you are healed. It was a declaration of a day. But now Peter refers to the same prophecy, but he says, by whose stripes you were healed. Prior to the cross, they had to look ahead to a day. You're looking past to an already paid debt. It's already been paid for. So when Jesus went to that whipping post, when they scourged him, every lash beating he took, however many there were, all the pain he took at that time was to make payment on our behalf to live sickness and pain free. He took that for you. I have trouble watching the Passion, because I hate to think that anybody would go through that. But then to know he went through it for me is humbling. If my wife went out, and let's just say that she took a job on the side and maybe didn't tell me, just said she was going shopping all the time, which I could believe. And instead she was working another job and saving all this money. And after, say, a year or two, she comes to me and she presents me with a brand new Harley Davidson set. I've been saving this up for you. I've worked and worked and worked. You know what? I'm going to treat that motorcycle with great honor and care, because she worked hard to present it to me. Are you following me? I probably would wait 6 months before I painted it orange. I'm going to treat it with great care. I'm going to be humbled by that gift that she's given to me. I'd probably cry. Amen. Maybe. But I'm going to be greatly thankful for what she, I'm not going to be, you know, going up and down mountains up in eastern Kentucky looking at oil wells on it. I'm going to treat it with great care. And I'm certainly not going to say, I don't need that. Well, thanks for the consideration, but you know, I've already got a motorcycle and I don't need this one, and so just give it to somebody else. I'm going to be thankful for the gift she's given me. And Jesus took all those stripes to give us a gift called divine healing and divine health. And I'm going to say to Jesus, I don't need all that. I've got a doctor. I don't need all that. I've got medicine. I'm going to say, thank you, Lord God. Help me do everything I can to manifest this promise in my life, because you've prepaid it. I love prepaid things. Amen? I bought Patty an appliance for her birthday. Amen. And when I bought it, they gave me it says it comes with an $80 rebate. We're saying in the form of a credit card that's prepaid. I like that. Because that means when I use the card, it doesn't come out of my account.
Right.
It's not something I got to pay back later.
Right.
It's prepaid. It's almost like it's free. Thank you, Lord. What can I buy with a prepaid card? The sky's the limit, up to $80. You know who's going to get it, don't you?
Right.
You do know who's going to get the card.
Right.
Amen. And that's what Jesus gave us in the healing promise. A prepaid card through His blood and through His stripes, that we have the right to purchase divine health and healing. That we have a right, if we will receive it and build our faith forward and stand on what He said, we never have to be sick another day of our lives. That's just ludicrous. Everybody gets sick. Got to get sick to die? No, you don't. You can just be sitting at the table like so many great men of God have and check out and go home. When you're up to like 90 years old or above. Are you following me? Bible says we've got at least 70. Even up to 120. Kenneth Hagin, when he turned 70, said to God, he said, God, I know you said I've got 70 years. And more, He said, but I'm not done. I'm asking you right now for 15 more years. And God said, okay, you've got it. And so Kenneth Hagin, I believe he was 86, so actually 16 years, was sitting at the breakfast table with his wife, reading the paper, and she looked up and he was gone. Just checked out. Not sick a single day, but just went home. God never intended for us to go home sick or in pain. It should be a homecoming where we finished our work and we're manifesting all the blessing and promise of God. And God says, okay, come on up here. Not much, much more you can do in with your life down there. Come join this party. Healing has been prepaid for us through the stripes of Jesus. You know, last year, for Pastor Appreciation Week, you guys gave Patty and I a gift card to stay at Clifty Inn in Madison. And we kept trying to decide when to go. We said, you know, the people in the church have sown into our lives with this, so we're not going to take it lightly. So we thought, well, do we go right now? And I'm thinking, well, it's too cold right now to go to Clifty Inn. I mean, it was already late October, nasty weather setting in. And I said, let's wait until warmer weather. So we waited clear till our anniversary in April, even a week after, to make this trip that you guys prepaid for us. But we planned it out. We had everything. We consider this a great gift you guys have given us. We wanted conditions to be perfect. And it was still nasty weather. It was cold that week. Remember that? It'd been so beautiful, and we go then for 2 days it's overcast, rainy, and cold. But we still had a great time. See, even you guys' best gift can be tampered with. But the gift of God is always perfect. And it's prepaid. And we should treat it like it's a very special gift to us. You know, if I have somebody come up to me and say I'm at a meeting somewhere, and I know these guys are, you know, multimillionaires, and they say, here's $50. I go, well, praise God for $50. Lord bless you. But I have somebody in the church or somebody else, and I know it's like the last $50 they have. It's like Jesus with the two mites. It's like, and you don't want to take it, but you know you have to receive seed. And so you take that and you put their hand, pray. We're going to pray. What is the breakthrough you need? Let's believe, because you know that was a sacrificial, precious gift. It was an all-in gift. Same $50. But one is really much more precious to you and to God. Amen. Because of the faith it took to sow it. And Jesus at the whipping post was all in. He gave all in advance, knowing it was going to happen. Didn't want to do it. Right? Remember the garden? He says, if there be another way, let this cup pass from before me. He knew what he was about to step into. Within a matter of hours, his flesh is beaten off of his body. Yet he said, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. A precious, willing, sacrificial gift to provide us with something we shouldn't leave just laying around. When we went home with that certificate to the Clifty Inn, we knew it was going to be 6 months at least before we used it. And so I'd say to Patty, probably once a month, you know where that gift certificate is? Yeah, I've got it right up over here. And we go check. Yeah, it's still there. We don't want to lose track of it. Because I don't want to go to you guys later and say, we lost your gift certificate, but thank you anyway. It snowed at Clifty Inn. We woke up to snow at Clifty Inn in April. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. That's where we went to the restaurant, a nice steakhouse. Went to a nice steakhouse. And I was just in the mood for a steak, and Patty liked steak. So we went to this pretty nice steakhouse. And I take, the steak is awesome. And I take a bite of the potatoes. I go, Patty, these are instant potatoes. She goes, no, they're not. I said, I know instant potatoes. These are instant potatoes. I don't do instant potatoes. Don't give me instant anything like that. Mm-mm. I know them. Don't give me instant milk or instant potatoes. Anything fat-free is from the pit of hell. So I call the waitress comes by and I says, I just have a question. These taste like instant potatoes. She says, yes, our chef prefers instant potatoes. I'm going, I don't. I kept my peace. I didn't say anything. But I wrote down my last trip to this steakhouse. You pay $25 for a steak and they give you instant potatoes. I'm done. That was part of our Clifton experience, but I mean, it was still a great steak. The point is Jesus didn't do anything instant. Everything was paid in full, paid without shortcuts. And we should consider it as a precious, blessed gift into our lives. We should not just take for granted, leave setting. So when I'm teaching on healing in this series, I think it would be vital for us to treat it as something we must get a hold of. See, in America, we've got such good medical care, so much medicine that, you know, if you read the label, you'd never think about doing again, but the doctor says it's okay, so we do it. That we tend to set aside the promise of healing in our life because it's just so easy to access our insurance program or whatever it might be. And God's saying, I've got a better program. Well, my company pays mine. Jesus said, I paid yours. No, you would think 2,000 years after the cross that we would have sickness and disease licked. Yet there's stuff coming out now that penicillin didn't touch. Now they're talking about Ebola virus and now they have in Florida a flesh-eating bacteria in the fresh waters in some of the lakes that people are swimming in and they die because the flesh eats their brain and stuff out. I mean, it's crazy. So with all of our medical expertise, people are still dying. But Jesus never lost a patient. In fact, if he didn't get there in time, they died. Don't worry. Your daughter sleepeth. And they come back. Their coming releases in this end time curse manifestation that the doctors aren't going to be able to touch. That you better know your healing covenant and have it in manifestation if you want to live above it. Don't just trust that you're in this church and you're under a covering. Because it's possible through unbelief or inactivity to remove yourself from the covering. Amen. Because disobedience to God's leading still opens doors to attack in your life. Well, I go to that church so I can't get sick. It doesn't work like that. Amen. You know what? You want to know what the main thing this church does for you to stand recovering? It teaches you how to stand recovering. It teaches you how to stand against sickness and disease and darkness and attack. Amen. So the covering works best when you combine your faith with the covering to resist all assaults. Are you following me? Now, where it really works the best is for newcomers that come in. People that are, you know, still on their spiritual honeymoon, they get saved and come into revival, and just everything falls off of them. But there comes a time God wants you to learn how to apply the Word in your own life. Amen? And if you learn faith and learn to speak the Word and stay under covering, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Have you got anything out of this tonight? It's been a good night, hasn't it? Father, seal the word in us. Cause to rise up and walk in the fullness of your power and provision. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, so be it. Amen. If you need special prayer for anything, I'd be glad to pray with you. Otherwise, hug some neck. Show the love of God. Be a blessing. We'll see you.